Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend, we celebrate as a nation another Independence Day. But this year, the celebration is especially significant. We mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, a milestone well worth celebrating and giving thanks to God for. And you probably noticed that the front of our bulletin reflects that same spirit of celebration. Across the front are the familiar words, "One nation under God." These words remind us of an important truth. While we celebrate our nation's independence, none of us is ever independent of God. Every breath that we take, every blessing that we enjoy, every hope that we have comes from God's gracious hand. For us, this raises an important question. What does it mean for us to live as faithful citizens of an earthly kingdom while belonging first to the kingdom of God? It is natural that this weekend our thoughts turn to our nations and to the blessing that God has bestowed upon it. Yet in today's gospel, Jesus so gently redirects our attention to something even greater. He reminds us that while we are citizens of an earthly nation, we are also belong to a heavenly kingdom. The truth comes into focus when the Pharisees and the Herodians approach Jesus, convinced that they have devised this perfect trap. If Jesus encourages the people not to pay taxes to Caesar, Rome would arrest him as a rebel. If he supported paying the tax, many of the Jewish people would conclude that he had somehow joined forces with their Roman oppressors. Either way, they expected Jesus to lose. Instead, Jesus asked for a denarius. Holding the coin in his hand, he asks a simple question. Whose likeness and inscription is this? Well, they answer immediately, Caesar's. And Jesus replies, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Those words certainly teach us something about our responsibilities as citizens of this great nation. Romans 13 reminds us that the governing authorities are established by God for our good. Christians should be good citizens. We should honor those in public service, obey the laws of the land, pray for our leaders, and gladly, I know that's hard to believe, gladly support the government through our taxes. All of that is part of living faithfully in this world. But Jesus' answer goes so much deeper than simply paying taxes. The coin belonged to Caesar because it bore Caesar's image. Jesus says, render to God the things that are God's. That raises even a greater question. What belongs to God? And the answer is not found in your wallet. It is found every time you look in a mirror because you bear God's image. That simple truth takes us way back to the very beginning of Scripture. Genesis tells us that God created mankind in his own image. But that image was never about physical appearance, for God is spirit. Rather, Adam and Eve reflected God's own holiness, his righteousness, his wisdom, and his love. They knew God perfectly. They trusted him. Their wills delighted in doing his will. There was no burden in their conscience over guilt, no shame to separate them from one another, no fear to drive them away from their God. They lived in joyful fellowship with their Creator and with each other, and with the creation he had placed under their care. Humanity's original state was one of perfect righteousness and perfect holiness. Martin Luther beautifully describes that original condition when he writes, "The image of God was this, that Adam had it in his being, and that he not only knew God and believed that he was good, but that he also lived a life that was truly divine. He was without the fear of death or any other danger, and was content with God's favor." You have to love those last words, content with God's favor. Adam never questioned whether God loved him or not. He never wondered if he had done enough to earn God's approval. He never carried guilt over yesterday or anxiety about tomorrow. He lived every moment secure in the love of his Creator. And sadly, that's not the world that we know today. Everything changed in Genesis 3. Satan tempted Adam and Eve to doubt God's goodness and distrust his word. Reaching for that forbidden fruit, they believed that they could be something greater than God had already made them, that somehow God was holding something back from them. The tragedy of the fall was not merely that they disobeyed God. They shattered this perfect fellowship that they had enjoyed with their Creator. And the evidence of that broken relationship appears almost immediately. Rather than running to God, Adam hid among the trees. His joy gave way to shame. Trust was replaced by fear. Instead of confessing his sin, Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. The harmony that once existed with God and with one another was broken. The image of God in its fullest sense had been lost. Luther captures this tragedy with these words. "Therefore, that image of God was something most excellent, in which were included eternal life, everlasting freedom from fear, and everything that is good. However, through sin, this image was so obscured and corrupted that we cannot grasp it even with our intellect." Let's think of a moment about what Luther is saying. After the fall, Adam did not stop being human. He could still think, reason, speak, and choose, but the holiness with which he had been created was gone. The perfect righteousness that allowed him to stand confidently before his God had been lost. Instead of trust, there was fear. Instead of fellowship, there's separation. Instead of innocence, there's guilt. The holiness, the righteousness, and the joyful fellowship with God that had defined that image was lost, leaving every part of human nature corrupted by sin. We know that brokenness in our lives. Like Adam, we often hide from God instead of running to him. We fear rather than trust. We try to excuse our sins instead of confessing them. We like to blame others instead of taking responsibility ourselves. Sin has distorted what God created us to be. Yet, we must be careful here. The Bible still speaks of human beings as created in the image of God even after the fall. That is why every human life possesses infinite dignity and worth. Every unborn child, every elderly person, every neighbor, every stranger still bears God's imprint as his creation. Perhaps the image of God in us is like an old coin that has been in circulation for generations and generations. The image is still there, but years of use have worn and scarred it. You can still recognize who likeness it bears, but it no longer displays the beauty it once possessed. Humanity is much the same. God's imprint remains, but sin has marred the holiness with which we were originally created. That is why Jesus had to come. The Apostle Paul calls him the image of the invisible God. In Christ, we see humanity as God intended it to be. Where Adam distrusted, Christ trusted perfectly. Where Adam disobeyed, Christ obeyed completely. Where Adam's sin brought death into the world, Christ's death and resurrection conquered death forever. Luther expresses this wonderful truth in a single sentence. In this manner, this image of the new creature begins to be restored by the gospel in this life, but it will not be finished in this life. That restoration began when God claimed you as his own in holy baptism. It continues every time his word calls you to repentance and faith. It is strengthened every time you receive Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Day by day, the Holy Spirit is conforming you more and more and more to the image of Christ. Yet the work is not complete. We still struggle with sin. We carry the scars of the fall. But the day is coming when Christ will finish what he has begun. When he returns, every trace of sin will be removed. Fear gives way to perfect peace. Faith will become sight. Death itself will be swallowed up in victory. The image of God will be perfectly restored in all of his redeemed people. That brings us back to the coin in Jesus' hand. The coin bore Caesar's image, so it belonged to Caesar. But you bear God's image. More than that, you have been redeemed by the blood of his Son and marked as his own in holy baptism. Your life does not ultimately belong to Caesar. It doesn't belong to this world. It belongs to the God who created you, redeemed you, and is even now restoring you through his gospel. So yes, on days like today, this momentous weekend, we give thanks for our country. Pray for your leaders. Honor those who serve. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But never forget the greater truth. Render to God what belongs to God. Render to him your heart, your faith, your worship, your life. Not because you're trying to earn his favor, but because in Jesus Christ, you already have it. Though sin has marred this image of God within you, Christ has redeemed you. And he is restoring that image day by day until one day you stand before him in perfect righteousness forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.